Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Real. Do you have any questions for you? Are there any questions for Mr. Real? Yes, Bill Dowd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple questions, Bill.
Sure.
First of all, one thing that I guess apparently you and one of the items of damages is for water supply in use prior to the commencement of the permitted activity. Is that too restrictive? What happens if you have
We test every fresh water source. You're responsible for any fresh water source you might damage in the drilling process.
So if it's vacant land and but it has some, you know, possible water wells that can be drilled on it, that does get damaged during the drilling
process? Possible water wells. No, let's not like that.
Water wells that can be drilled on it.
Well, if you damage any fresh water source, you're responsible for that.
As I read the statute, as well as SORA's bill, for that matter, it says damage to water supply in use prior to the commencement of the activity. So if it's vacant land is not being used,
yeah,
that would not be recoverable.
True. True.
Neither existing law or your industry or for that matter sort of has addressed that. The other question I had was piqued my interest when you talked about it. Attorney fees and fee shifting and then lemon laws, which is an area I do practice in. Yes. The lemon law works because it has fee shifting in it. It allows legal fees to be recovered by the consumer. It now also has IFAC safeguards on the other hand. You can't just prove it.
Right.
Lemon lawsuit because your radio drop off so often.
Right.
You have very strict time limits with
you got opportunity to remediate your
correct. Do we need something like that in the remediation statutes for oil and gas drillers?
I mean, I'm not prepared to say that. That's why I think we really ought to have a legitimate study about this, much like the one on dental health that I'm.
You think I've something that's over for discussion?
I think there's going to be a lot. I don't know. But do we sit and talk?
I guess I'm. And there's always a worry of abuse on both sides. About attorney fees, I'm not sure that the driller doesn't have somewhat of an advantage in his offer of damages because he knows, assuming he's not scrupulous, he knows that if the landowner doesn't accept his offer, they have to go incur the litigation costs. Yet on the other hand, I'm sensitive to what you say about the landowner being able to hire an attorney and have a blank check as he just litigates to his heart's content. Is there not a medium there that can be reached?
I don't have an opinion on that this point. I mean, I think that's part of where we are today. We haven't talked about all this sort of thing. Let me give you an example here. What you deal with in the one piece of legislation. A lot of it has been about notice. And on page 6 of Mr. McMahon's bill, you've got a 15-day notice before entering upon the surface land for inspection, measurement, surveying, etc. The 15 days begins to run from the surface owner's actual receipt of the notice. The 15 days notice before entry may be waived by a surface use and compensation agreement, but the surface use and compensation agreement cannot be finalized until 15 days after receipt of the notice provided in this section. Well, that double speak from I just imagined that.
You have a 15-day notice, you can waive it, but you can't waive it until 15 days. I mean, somebody really needs to read this stuff pretty closely because it pulled this stuff in.
Any further questions, Dale?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Senator,
Bill.
Yes, sir.
You were aware this bill was introduced last year.
This bill was not introduced last year.
The bill that
it's been substantially changed. This version just came out Friday.
Basically, it isn't substantial.
Oh, yes,
basically, the same bill that was introduced.
I respectfully disagree with you. This one is significantly different from what we saw previously.
Well, then we can ask counsel or Mr. McMahon to explain that. There also was a hearing, or the bill was taken up in committee, and people did come and testify, you're aware of that, on the bill that was introduced?
I agree, this is a different business.
There was public hearing held on the issues, that we're talking about here, and that basically was notification, participation of the landowner in the plan, and also compensation. And we had a public hearing in the House Chambers last year, and the House Chambers was full.
Yes.
I don't know if you attended any of the public hearings that were held around the state. I attended some of them in Kingwood, for example. There were the gymnasium was totally full. There were at least 500, 600, maybe 700 people there.
There were 650 people there by our count. And upon Mr. McMahon saying that he didn't know anything about leasing, a number of them left. We say we remained in order to answer their questions about leasing. Now, that's another issue right there that I deal with. When you get to Preston County and start moving east, almost all the property is owned in fee. And those people were there because they thought they were coming to a meeting to learn about how they should negotiate a lease with people who were actively in that area trying to take leases. And we spent a lot of time providing them with a lot of information.
Matter of fact, a lot of that information was provided to them.
Absolutely was. And we provided a lot of it. Industry provides a lot of that information for them.
There were a lot of people there who were upset, and the 5 or 6 people that testified today, I mean, there were literally multiple people like that who were complaining about the same problem. So to say,
Are you telling me there were that many wells drilled in Preston County region?
I'm telling you, that's how many people came up and talked to me and called me on the phone and wrote me letters.
Okay. Well, that's why I say we need objective, factual information.
Where
is it? It's not been submitted to this committee, as far as I know.
Well, it's already been over a year. We've been, had this issue before us, and you didn't come before us.
Yes, I did. I testified that something here.
Why don't you come with a bill that would solve some of these problems?
I don't have a problem with the way the law is now. I think it works fine.
Thank you, Senator.
Are there any further questions of Mr. Reel?
Yes.
That's a question I'm listening
to. Following up on Senator Hunter, and you made the comment that you think that these people here are the exception rather than the rule or the norm out there. And perhaps that is the case, but regardless, I mean, the legislature has to be in there when we're dealing with issues like this as a mediator, so to speak, because it is in the best interest of the state of West Virginia that we have a viable oil and gas industry, but at the same time, it's in the best interest of the state of West Virginia that the people that are affected one way or another, that their rights are as well preserved. And I got a little ticked off. I felt like that you felt like that the process hadn't been properly addressed, and that the legislature, in trying to reach out to get those facts that you say are not here, it's my understanding that this committee, has, along with its staff, has repeatedly sent emails as well as other information, requesting information from the industry, and there has been no response whatsoever. And in order for the process to work, it means and it requires all the parties affected to come together in order to remedy the situation. And let's say it is the exception rather than the rule. Then why isn't the industry taking care of its own problems and addressing it with those bad apples that are working within the industry? When it comes to the legislature, that's because it's beyond that point, and it's up to the legislature to act as that mediator to correct the problem. And I'm just stating that because this committee, this staff has tried to work out a situation where all parties come to the table. Unfortunately, not all parties decided to participate at the table in that discussion in order to address the situation.
Well, let me respond to your question about how you take care of those situations. In our law, if there is a violation of that permit, by the oil and gas operator, the agency that regulates the industry, not the industry itself, the industry, the agency that regulates the industry, has the authority and does deny the opportunity to get further. They lock you. They block you from getting further permits. So you have to get yourself in compliance. Now that doesn't handle the kind of dispute about what the value of a certain number of trees might be, or whether or not the road meets the what sort of under my life of the road today, that sort of thing. Then in terms of all the other things, if you have not complied with the laws of this state, the agency denies you any further permits to be used up there, correct? If I got an email from anybody associated with this committee asking me for information that I hadn't provided, I don't know what to do. I would like for somebody to show it to me. Now, you may be advised that the email has been sent, but, I don't know what kind of information has been requested.
Ask for all peers in response to service members' attack on the old four individuals of other people that in October and December will not have any response to the report yourself.
Well, I mean, your own study resolution here, Delegate, says that you were to do a study about the West Virginia Road and Federal Patrol Field Manual. You were to determine whether or not 15 days was an adequate notice period, whether or not the existing law and regulation of oil and gas drilling by the state and the laws providing compensation to service owners, et cetera, were adequate. The feasibility of requiring free wholesale retail gas, I don't know any testimony about that, and all the dynamics that are associated with that. I mean, there would be huge risk, huge safety risk. I would think somebody would want to know more about that. I don't know of any discussion before this committee regarding, and I've raised this issue a number of times with a lot of people in this committee. We are forgetting about there's a forgotten class of people here. That's the ones that actually own the minerals in place. The people I represent are simply in the middle. We're the lever between the two. But nobody has covered the interest and addressed the interest of the mineral owners in this state and their right to develop that which they acquired maybe generations ago or acquired yesterday. Most of the issues associated with someone not realizing that an oil and gas company would have the right to develop this oil and gas underneath their property comes from not having had a title examination whenever they acquired their property, or if they did have a title examination, it should have been pointed out to them that somebody else owns the subsurface minerals, and typically with the subsurface minerals goes the right to develop this mineral. As I said before, I regret that situation, but it would be much easier for everybody if there was a unification of the surface and the underlying oil and gas. It would be much easier for the industry. It would be much better for the owners.
Well, we're kind of getting away from things that we have to deal with the cards that we've been dealt. So anyway, and I did just want to make that clear that every attempt was made in order to get a dialogue regarding the issues out there, and not everybody chose to come to the table to continue that dialogue. Unless there's further business on that.
Are there further questions, Mr. Real? Time this meeting is up. Just for the edification of everybody in the room, we do not have a quorum to take action on either bill, even if there was a desire to do so. So there may no further business under for the meeting. Excuse me, the committee. Senator White moves to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
All opposed.